Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is anybody there?
Yep.
Yes.
Hello, this is Chris Atwood, the features editor with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Good evening. Who's on the phone with us tonight?
Deborah Lovett.
Mark.
Oh, one at a time. Where? Say your name and where you're calling from, if you would.
Mark from Florida.
Hi, welcome. So glad you're here.
Marianne from Massachusetts.
Who's here from Massachusetts?
Marianne.
Hi, Marianne. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Great. Who else is here?
Noreen from Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada.
Ah, wonderful. Well, I'm so glad that Canada is being represented tonight. Thank you, Maureen.
Here in Vancouver.
Oh, and Vancouver as well. Very good.
Lionel from Vancouver, BC as well.
Oh, very good. Well, Canada is well represented, huh? Good. Welcome, everyone. Who else is on the line?
Shelby from Gilroy, California.
Hi, Shelby.
Hello.
Hey, this is Guy from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, Guy. Welcome.
Hey, thank you much.
This is Rita from Malibu, California.
Hi, Rita. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Who else would like to introduce themselves tonight?
This is Daniel LeBrec from Fair Place, South Carolina.
Hi, Daniel. Welcome. Well, so we've got the West Coast and the East Coast. That's wonderful. Now, is there anybody from the Midwest?
Yes, Brenda Gill from South Holland, Illinois.
Oh, wonderful, Brenda. Thank you for holding up the middle of the country. Good. Who else is on the line with us tonight?
Hi, it's Susan from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Susan. Welcome.
Hi.
Chris, may I ask, is it an hour tonight or less or more, just so I roughly know?
It will be about an hour and a quarter probably by the time we're done. Maybe somewhere in that neighborhood.
Thank you.
Okay, sure. Who else is on the line tonight?
Hi, I'm Rosalind from Vancouver, BC.
Hi, Rosalind. Welcome. We have lots of people from BC tonight. I'm so happy. I love British Columbia, personally.
I'm Gene.
Nice day today.
Great. So who is that?
Gene from Rolla, Missouri.
Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Gene.
Oh, Gene. Forgive me.
It's okay.
Great, great, great. Someone has a little dog in the background.
Yeah.
Welcome to the dogs as well. Who else is on the line?
This is Joel from Andalusia, Alabama.
Well, hi, Joel. Welcome. So glad you're with us tonight.
Thank you. I'm good to be here.
Chris, this is Janet. I'm here, too, and welcome, everybody.
This is Janet Atwood, who is the cover editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, our host for the Passion Series interviews, who is joining us from Bombay, India tonight.
Wow. So,
Wayne from Indiana.
I bet you my weather's a little hotter than most of yours, I'll tell you that. I think it's already, let's see, what time is it? 6:30 in the morning, Chris, and everyone, and it's about 90 degrees almost so
oh,
far.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll get a tan for sure when I walk outside in the first 2 seconds. So welcome from Bombay, India.
Wow.
Great to talk to everyone.
Thanks.
So who else is on the line with us?
Dwayne from Indiana.
Hi, Wayne.
Oh, hi.
We have India and Indiana. Very good.
Hey, Wayne, what's the weather like there?
Our name's Dwayne. Nice, cool 47.
Okay, not too bad. All right, great.
About half the temperature it is in Bombay, Janet.
Okay.
Good.
I'm from San Diego.
Who is that from San Diego?
Carol from San Diego.
Hi, Carol. Welcome. We'll be starting
I am
in just a couple of minutes, but right now we just want to welcome everyone. And please, if you're joining us, please just say your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Arthur from Livonia, Michigan.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Arthur.
Originally from India.
Yes.
What'd you say?
From Chicago.
From India.
Oh, from India. But
you're from
in
India.
From Calcutta.
Oh, I haven't been there yet, so great. Thank you.
Good.
Who is joining us from Chicago?
My name is Aaron Helfer from Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, Aaron. Welcome.
Thank you.
John from Toronto.
Who is from Toronto?
John.
Hi, Don. Welcome.
Hi, this is Lynn
from
California.
Marilyn, where are you from?
Linda. Name is Brenda, and I'm from Maryland.
Oh, Brenda from Maryland.
Yeah.
Good. And who was it from San Diego?
No, Linda from California.
Linda from California. Welcome, Linda.
And I'm Mary from California as well.
Well, yay for California. Welcome, Mary.
Sue
glad
from
you're
California.
Here. Good.
Constance from California.
Oh, California is well represented. So glad.
Okay, I'm from Miami.
South Carolina.
Oh, good. Now, who's from Miami?
My name's Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
How you doing?
Very, really wonderful.
Great.
And who is the other person?
Eli from Canada.
From South Carolina, Ann Elliott.
Hi. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you.
Good, good, good. So we're so happy that you're all here with us tonight. We're going to start in
about
1 minute.
1 minute.
And if there's anyone else that would like to introduce themselves,
now's
the time.
Your voice
got
is echoing.
We just developed a nasty echo.
We did.
Sure did.
I think we have many people who've joined us just in the last couple of minutes.
Oh.
I'm now just going to go to lecture mode and welcome everyone to this evening's call, The Passions of Real Life Legends. Tonight we have an amazing guest. We're so excited to introduce him to you in a few minutes. But first, Janet, are you still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah, I want to introduce Janet Atwood, my partner, the author of The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire. And Janet is right now, as I mentioned earlier, in Bombay, India, doing a tour and preparing a series of magazine articles. And Janet, I want to turn it over to you to welcome everyone.
Great. Thanks, Chris. And welcome and good morning to any of you that are up early with me in India, and good evening to all of you in the U.S. and other parts of the world. So I'm really so happy to be with everyone this evening. And, I have a hard time with this because I want to say this morning, and I know that'll tweak you guys, so I'm not sure who I'm tweaking, me or you. I'm in Bombay, as Chris said, and it's possible that I'll get cut off. That happened last month while we were on the phone with Hale Dwoskin, which gave me an opportunity to practice staying open in the midst of change. And if that happens again, I'll pop on my cell phone and you'll hear me say, Chris, can you give me a call? So just know that we're working out our little system here, because sometimes in India you'll be on the phone and the next thing you know you're still talking and no one's there. So, Chris, would you welcome our elite members as well?
Absolutely, and it's our pleasure. Those of you who are elite members, we're so happy to have you here, and of course you know that within the next couple of days you'll be able to download the recording of this call. Also, within the next 10 days to 2 weeks, you'll be able to also download a complete transcript of the call, so you can go through this, the wisdom that will be shared by our guests tonight again and again, and pull out all of the pearls. Also, our elite members will be receiving a very special gift, and I think most of you know that tonight the subject of our call is the Kabbalah, and we are very fortunate to have a very renowned Kabbalistic scholar, Rabbi Yehuda Berg, who we'll be introducing in just a moment. But one of the things that Rabbi Berg has made available to our elite members is the ability for each of you to receive your personal name of God, and he'll be talking more about that this evening. Now, those of you who are not yet elite members, you definitely want to become elite members, because not only do you get to listen to these amazing calls with people like Rabbi Berg, with next month, Dr. John Gray on December 7th of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. In January, we'll be talking with Neil Donald Walsh, the best-selling author of Conversations with God. In February, with Qigong Master Shaw. You'll also have access to the archives of the Passion series with people like Jay Abraham and the publishing legend Richard Paul Evans, who wrote The Christmas Box, Dr. John Hagelin, world-renowned quantum physicist, and plus, you receive over 70 e-books with all kinds of valuable, useful knowledge that you can put to use immediately. So these are things that are available to our elite members. And this call tonight is the last time that you can sign up for the elite member program for $4.95 for the first month. It's $14.95 a month on an ongoing basis, and beginning with our next call, which is 2 weeks from now, with spiritual teacher Bill Bauman, the elite member will be every month $14.95. So if you would like to get a recording and transcript of this call tonight, as well as our call with Bill Bauman in 2 weeks, you can become an elite member by going to the following website address and get a pen and paper so you can write this down. It's www.healthywealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, Wise, WISE.com, and then click on step number 3. That's for elite members. Step number 3. So again, the website address is Healthy Wealthy, the letter N as in Nancy, Wise.com, and then click on step number 3, and you will be able also to take advantage of this wonderful gift of giving you your own personal name of God. So now I would like to turn it back over to Janet to do the first part of our introduction of our very, very special guest tonight. Janet?
And Chris, I've been really excited and just really happy that I get to just say some personal things about Yehuda, because when I first met Yehuda, I had flown to California to meet him, and I was a little bit, I felt like a groupie, or, like I was meeting this famous, famous person, because I'm a lover of People magazine, that says how deep I am, and I read that, all the time Madonna and Demi Moore and all of these famous people were always, followers of Yehuda, and so many thousands and thousands of people. And so I just felt like this little kid that was going in to meet this great, great person. And when I left, I really knew that I had met this great, great person, because my experience was so profound with Yehuda. It touched me so deeply meeting him, because he is so humble. He is so completely himself. There's no aspect to Yehuda that isn't Yehuda. When you meet someone, for me, and I know all of you probably have the same exact feeling, that a person who's truly saturated in who they are, what my experience is that I feel totally at home. There's just this feeling of comfort. And that's exactly what I felt like when I walked into Yehuda's office. I sat down and I felt like I was with an old friend. What I was struck by, aside from Yehuda's depth and humility, was his deep sensitivity. And what I noticed as I was sitting with him was that every moment, every word he spoke, seemed so important and so purposeful. And I could truly tell just by being with him in just this short time, I think I spent maybe an hour with him, was that the one-pointed devotion that Yehuda has for the people in the world. He exemplifies to me my favorite poem that actually I put on my business card, because I love it so much. It's that Rumi poem, and probably many of you have heard it. It's out beyond wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field, I'll meet you there. And this is what I felt about Yehuda, was that there was no right, there was no wrong, there just was. And that he had the ability, why so many people could embrace the knowledge of the Kabbalah was because of Yehuda's ability to embrace and respect all the people that came into his field and bring them into his heart and share the knowledge that he had. And it was just truly, for me, such an experience. I left, I felt like I was walking on air afterwards. I felt so, being with Yehuda and his humility brought a great humility to me. And that to me is a sign of a great, great teacher. So I am so happy to invite Yehuda. Yehuda, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, it's so great to say hello to you. Good morning from me, and good evening to you.
Good evening, good morning.
Yes, it's great. So, Chris, will you give a little more of Yehuda's formal background for everyone?
It would be my pleasure. Thank you, Janet. And again, also welcome, Yehuda. It's so such a pleasure and an honor to be with you tonight. I will just say a couple of things that all of you will want to know about Rabbi Yehuda Berg. One is Yehuda has been immersed in the Kabbalah from the moment he was born. He is the inheritor of a great tradition. He is the son of the very famous and well-known Kabbalist Rav Berg, and both Yehuda and his brother Michael have provided a very great contribution to the world in helping millions of people around the world to understand the very profound and deep knowledge of Kabbalah and to make it available or to help people to see that it is not limited to any particular religion or sect or any particular background or any particular nationality, but it is knowledge which applies to everyone. And it's that perspective that Yehuda and his family have provided, I think, which has attracted thousands and thousands of people from all over the world, including some of the very famous people that Janet mentioned that have been attracted and have become involved in Kabbalah. Rabbi Yehuda Berg is an accomplished author. He is the author of the Power of Kabbalah, which is an international bestseller and which introduced many, many people to the knowledge of Kabbalah for the first time. He's also the author of The 72 Names of God, which we'll be talking about tonight. And he's just releasing a new book called The Red String, which we'll talk about a little bit as well tonight. Rabbi Yehuda Berg has had extensive studies from the youngest age, and he today is internationally renowned as a leading authority of Kabbalah, the Torah, and the Talmud. So with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Janet to begin the interview, and again, thank you so much, Yehuda, for being with us tonight.
And for those of you that just, and thank you, Chris, for those of you that just got on, again, I'm in Bombay, India, preparing some future articles for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. And we've had the experience that at moments I might get cut off. So if that does happen, you'll hear me say to Chris, can you call me? So just know that that's our signal. Yehuda, again, welcome. And it's just, as Chris said, it's an honor to be with you tonight. For our listeners who are not familiar with Kabbalah, would you tell us what the Kabbalah is and why it has attracted so many people outside of the Jewish community?
Well, what Kabbalah is a 4,000-year-old teaching and system, by which if you follow its path, it's a path towards fulfillment. It's a path towards filling the darkness we face, filling the darkness and chaos in our life. And the reason why it's traditionally it was thought as Jewish mysticism, but being that 4,000 years old and it started with Abraham's Book of Formation, it actually predates Judaism. And many people historically who were not necessarily Jewish, Sir Isaac Newton, for instance, or Pythagoras, or different leaders of different kind of new ways of thought were into Kabbalah. So Kabbalah being for everyone didn't just start today. What we've tried to do in the Kabbalah Center is try to actually make the information accessible for everyone. More than opening the doors to everyone, you could find it before, but it was very inaccessible.
Now, Yehuda, in your books you talk about three different parts of Kabbalah. Could you explain those and how they apply? People apply?
Well, there's the kind of theory and you would call, you know, the theoretical kind of study where a person like an Isaac Newton would use it for he had his own copy of the Zohar, but more the theory aspect. And then there's a very practical aspect of Kabbalah and practical tools. I use tools every day. I wake up in the morning and the first thing I do is I think, you know, where am I going today? What have I what am I going to do today that's different than yesterday? I do certain meditations. I meditate on the 72 names of God if I need specifically. And there's a very practical part of Kabbalah.
So from the perspective of Kabbalah, what is the purpose of life?
Well, the purpose of life is actually to bring about fulfillment in ourselves and in others. Light from darkness. And we came to this world, all of us came to this world with some form of darkness. We chose to come to this world to reveal light, but to reveal goodness in the world, in our world and in the people around us. But the fulfillment always doesn't come from, well, if we're smart, that's nothing. If we really have a something good about our character, that's not where our light gets revealed. The purpose of our life here, the light gets revealed when we discover our darknesses and we reveal them with light. If you have anger, ego, whatever aspect of negativity we may have, by transforming that negativity, then we reveal light. So the purpose of light, the purpose of our life is to transform that darkness in our life to light.
Now, do the 72 names, you have written a book called The 72 Names of God, and you mentioned them briefly a moment ago, that they're part of the practical aspect of Kabbalah. Do they play an important role in this process?
Yes, they do. They come from, actually, the Aramaic letters that come from the story of the story of the splitting of the Red Sea that happens in the book of Exodus and in the Bible. And it said that in Moses' staff they were engraved, and the Zohar, Book of Kabbalah, says that when the Red Sea was split, it was actually Moses who split the sea using the 72 names. And we use that story as a metaphor to all the Red Seas that we need to split in our life. Many, many times we come to situations where we think, okay, I can't do certain things. There's things that are beyond my control. There's things I can't overcome. And what the 72 names of God do, give us the power to overcome things that we think we can't. It's not like we were just left here in this world to try to understand life by ourselves. We were given tools. One of the tools is 72 names, and one of the most powerful tools. And there's a list of a specific thing. If a person's totally consumed by depression or anger or any one of any problems, the 72 names of God help us, especially when we think we're alone. And this helps us to feel that there are forces that are there at play that could help us.
Now, Yehuda, one of the 72 names deals with passion. And as you know, this series is called The Passion of Real Life Legends. And at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wife, we have chosen to deeply understand the role that passion plays in creating success and fulfillment in our lives. Because we know that everyone who is successful seems to share a passion for what they do. What does Kabbalah say about the role of passion in creating success and fulfillment in life?
Well, when a person has passion, or a person has lack of it, without the focus on, you know, there's the old saying, if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. What we use passion in Kabbalah for is focused energy. And unfortunately, if a person can't focus their energy, and that's why there's one of the 72 names just for passion, to be able to focus, take your whole, everything you have inside, and go towards a goal, then that goal can be achieved. If we can't muster up all that energy inside us and be passionate and just focus on a goal, we'll never be able to break through the barriers. Because there are forces at play that don't want us to succeed. We wake up in the morning and we have voices telling us whatever, and we have this battle between us, our light side inside, and our opponent. And we always have voices that tell us to do other things and try to distract us from our goal. using the passion that we have, it just focuses everything inside, and only that way we can accomplish anything.
Now, the 72 names of God, are they really names of God, or and why are there 72 of them, I can ask?
They're different energies and pathways to God. They're not like you would see names of God written in different ways they're written. They're more different pathways to connect to God. And the reason there's 72 is 72, if the numerical value of the Aramaic word of mercy or sharing or giving is 72. And the names of God only work if it comes together with a sharing aspect in our life, a thinking of others. If I'm selfish and I'm only consumed with myself, the 72 gods unfortunately won't work for us.
So how do you go about using, like the name for passion, how would someone use that to really focus their energy and create results in their life?
So, I mean, if you go into, we have them laid out in our 72.com website, and or in the book, and then.
So let me just stop you for a second.
Okay.
So people can go to www.72.com.
Yes.
And then there's some description there.
Some description there. Obviously, it's more extensive in the book.
Right.
And what they do, and again, because in my philosophy is, you know, different people are different. So some people are more meditative kind of person. Some people are visualization kind of people. There's different kind of ways to use the names. You could use them as a meditative tool if a person's a more meditative person. And then whichever way you could focus on the name, some people into meditation, some people into visualization, some people just use it as they have it in front of them all the time. Depending whichever way you use them, what it does is you focus on those three letters, those three Aramaic letters, and you want to ignite that power that's inside yourself. We all have the ability to connect to passion, to connect to, I want to achieve this. But there's distractions on the way. There's physical distractions, there's mental distractions. And what the name does is it focuses our energy to achieve what it is we want to achieve.
And so, do you say the name or you look at it?
You look at it. It's more of a connection by looking at our eyes or visualization in our brain if we close our eyes and we meditate on the symbol.
You know, Yehud, I want to go backwards a little because if I can. And have you talk a little bit more, because you hit on something that I was back there in my mind thinking about. You said there are forces and voices that we battle with. There's the light side and the dark side. And then just a minute ago you said there's, you know, we have distractions, physical and mental. So how does this all come together? And can you explain, can you talk a little bit more about all this?
Okay, so, well, as we said, the purpose of our life is not necessarily the good things we come with, but our negative sides that we need to combat and to transform. In trying to transform the negativity, what the universe created is the positive forces we have inside, but we also have negative forces inside. And it's almost like two radio stations that are transmitting at the same time. Sometimes you connect to one information, sometimes you connect to the other information. And we have this constantly happening. And unfortunately, because we're naturally more self-centered and into ourselves, if we don't work on not being that way, a lot of times those forces that take us on the negative path sometimes are louder. And the distractions are louder, and the things trying to take us away from our goal are louder, and that's why we need a tool like passion, and a tool like focus and using the names, using the different tools we could use in order to achieve. Because we have these two forces that we're born with. They come naturally, these two forces. The forces that want us to succeed and the forces that unfortunately want us to fail. And that's why we need a tool like passion and different tools to help us succeed.
So we're visualizing. So what we're doing then is we're bringing in a sense, is that we're bringing in a second element, or we're taking our attention off of negativity and putting our attention on 100% positivity by putting our attention on one of the 72 names of God. Is that correct?
Yes, that name helps us put our attention and focus just on those messages of light, as opposed to messages of darkness.
Uh-huh. And is it quick, or does it take a long time?
Time-wise, it's depends how deeply entrenched we are with our negative and chaotic behavior. But this work isn't meant to happen overnight. We come to this world and whether it's X amount of years that we've lived with our reactive kind of behavior, this, when we try to transform a negative trait, it takes time. It takes work. But it's not the McDonald's way of achieving things. It doesn't happen instantly. It takes some time, but then the result is lasting.
Uh-huh. And would you say it's like a system, in the sense that it's a surefire way? A system is that you do it, you know you're going to achieve the results. It's just a matter of whatever time it takes, as you said, depending upon where people how much work people have already done within themselves or not.
Yes, and which also brings to the equation what we call certainty, because if you're in this process in the system but have doubts if you're going to be successful, unfortunately you've also, it's not going to be successful. Not only do you have to be in doing the work, you also have to have certainty that at the end you will transform.
And so right, can I ask this one question, Chris? So you can't be doing it and going, I hope this works.
Exactly.
And that will be like getting yourself in your own way, right?
Yes.
I just one other question that revolves around this. When people do this, is there a certain amount of time that you suggest that they do this in a day or in a week or what?
It's really up to a person. At the end of the day, we can be good judges of ourselves. We can be. We're not always true judges, but we can be. And if you're with yourself and you're trying to be truthful, you could figure out how long you need to use the tools that it makes you successful and makes a difference. And it's really, some days I do it for, 15 seconds, and some days I could meditate for an hour. And it's really when I feel that, okay, I got my boost, I'm good, I move on. And there are people, it's really, if we're true judges, then it's really up to the person to find his balance and how much he needs to use.
So, Yehuda, would it be fair to say that using the different names of God is a way of getting alignment in terms of different qualities? Alignment.
Yes, it makes us more like God, and aligns ourselves with that higher force. And again, Kabbalah is not a religion per se, and you could be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, or no religion, as long as you believe that there's a higher power. It aligns us with that higher power, and what the names do, it's almost like a filter of our negative behavior, and then it aligns us with that higher power and allows more light into our lives.
So if I knew that I had an area, right, where it was where I was struggling in my life, right, say self-confidence or clarity of mind, any of this, right, then I would find that 72 name, that name, or passion, for instance. Say I was having a problem with being passionate or being focused. And then I would just put my attention on, be visually looking at that, right?
Yes.
And maybe I'd like to, Yehuda, just for our listeners' sake, to just read a few of these different names, because it's quite interesting that what they deal with. Things like, what I'm looking at is things like eliminating negative thoughts, diffusing negative energy and stress, unconditional love, heaven on earth, great escape, that's interesting, speak your mind, the big picture. Now, the unity, happiness, freedom, letting go, listening to your soul, dispelling anger. So because our focus in this call is on passion, Yehuda, are there other names that relate specifically to passion?
Well, it then, okay, you want to be focused, you want to get to the goal, you want to be passionate.
Uh-huh.
And then the question is, what are those obstacles in your way? And you mentioned the great escape, and that specifically talks about ego. Sometimes what disturbs our passion is our ego, because we rather take this momentary self-satisfaction of the ego as opposed to the ultimate goal of whatever it is that you're trying to do. So a person like that would say, okay, I need to work on my ego that it doesn't interfere with my passion.
Right.
And then if a person is in the anger category, you know, then it's, make sure the anger doesn't take you away from your goal. So once you determine a goal, you also have to be trying. And again, I'm a person that just I am what I am. And then some people who cover themselves up, either because they're afraid to be, you know, they're afraid to trust people, for whatever reason, they close themselves up from being a true judge of themselves. But part of Kabbalah is opening that up and then truly seeing what are the issues and then using the name to combat that issue.
I love that. So anyone who's having a problem forgiving any of your exes, the unconditional loved one is there.
Also, I mean, there's letting go that also works.
And there's mm-hmm. there's one of thought into action, which surely must be a key thing if when one's looking to go and achieve a goal. Now, one of the things that we mentioned earlier, Yehuda, is that you've been kind enough to allow our elite members to obtain their personal name of God. Could you talk about a little bit about what is the nature of a personal name of God and how has that come to?
Well, depending on a person's birthday and certain other parts, there's a name of God that a formula that was created some hundreds of years ago that helps, and sometimes it's dead on. Sometimes there's a person who's battling depression and his personal name is for depression. Sometimes it's something that, oh, this doesn't make sense that this would be me. But there is some kind of connection. That ends up being maybe a past life connection or some kind of connection to that name that a person, it helps us. Each person has, my personally happens to be, you know, sharing the flame and to be sharing. And
how appropriate.
So sometimes, you know, I use as, am I sharing enough? Or am I sharing too much and I don't have time for myself? And so, like, I use my name, and if it was don't know, depression, then I would say, okay, I have to figure out how this name is around in my life. Even if I per se don't exactly have that problem, I have to figure out why that name is in my life, and eventually. Almost every person that I've come in contact with that gets their personal name finds that connection. And it's just one more thing that helps us focus our energies into the goals we want to achieve in our life.
You know, I have a question about this. When you're doing your name or one of the personal names, is there a purification process that one would go through? Do you know what I'm saying? During this, because what you're basically doing, aren't you, is healing from within yourself? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, to start the process of the use of the 72 names, a lot of times we need to just take a moment and figure out, okay, even before you could start working on tackling a specific problem, sometimes you need to do a couple steps back up. Okay, you're not clear from an issue that you've had 8 years ago, or you're not clear of this and not that. You still have a problem with this. It's difficult to try to move forward without dealing with some of the things that we've been affected by in our past, whether it's personal issues with myself that I don't feel I accomplish enough in this life, or issues with other people. So yes, a lot of times when a person starts to work on the 72 names, they end up needing to take some time and either go through their own personal kind of healing or personal kind of taking care of some issues before they can actually start using the tools to move forward in life.
It's, thank you. It seems like it's a very gentle process, though.
Well, it's sort of you know, Kabbalah being no judgment. It's
uh-huh.
It's one of the core principles of Kabbalah, and also the way we teach Kabbalah that, you know, first step is trying to be yourself, trying to figure out who you really are, and then using everything and cater it to who you are. And a lot of times, there's in a system where you have to fit into a system. And what Kabbalah tries to do is, we're all different. You need to be able to use the tools differently for your life, and not trying to fit us into something, but rather cater your beginning of your spiritual life. You know, if you've been hurt, we all go through certain specific things to ourselves. We need to first figure that out before we could actually move forward.
Is it the case, Yehuda, that if I understood correctly from your answer earlier, that the actual physical form of the Aramaic letters produces an influence or effect, as well as being aware of the particular meaning behind the name? Is that correct?
Yes, and the Aramaic language historically was used for this. I mean, about how many other people. I saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, and I understood the movie, you know, without the subtitles.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the few people who did that. I'm very, you know, the Zohar is written in Aramaic, and it's interesting that it's the language Jesus used. It's also the language the Zohar is in. It's a language that's been used historically in different documents, some of the Dead Sea Scrolls in Aramaic. So it's a language that's been used historically as a tool, and it's just another aspect of the 72 names that it uses these letters.
And you've mentioned several times the Zohar. Could you explain for those of our listeners that aren't familiar with that what the Zohar is?
Well, it's basically the Bible of Kabbalah. It was written 2,000 years ago, over a period of 100. Actually, the person who compiled everything lived a very long life, and it was compiled over 100 years. And it basically has all the tenets of Kabbalah, all the source of the Kabbalistic wisdom that's been taught from there on. It's all based on the Zohar.
Your newest book is called The Red String. And
yes,
most of us have seen pictures or excuse me, or articles in which some of your famous followers like Madonna or Demi Moore are wearing the red string. What is the significance of the red string, and how could there be so much to it that you could write a whole book on it?
Well, the purpose of the book was, okay, you have all these people wearing red string, and there are people who just wear the red string without knowing what it was. So, one of the things I hate most is people doing things for not knowing why they're doing it. So I said, okay, I have to write a book on this. people, you hear about it, you see it. You know, Jenna mentioned the People magazine before, and lots of people are wearing strings, and almost all of them have no idea why. And those who don't study, really study Kabbalah, don't know why. So I decided, okay, I need to explain what it's about. So briefly, it's about protection. And the string goes to Bethlehem, to the tomb of Rachel, who represents in the Bible protection, and we put it on our wrist. But it's not just about wearing a string. In order to live a life of protection, there also you have to live a life of protection. If I'm jealous of people, the red string's not going to protect me from other people's jealousy. And that's the main aspect of what the red string is supposed to protect us from, the energies of other people. But we collectively, the people who wear a string, and I wear a string on my left wrist, I need to live a life of protection in order to gain protection. So it's not just about the ritualistic putting on the red string. It's about living the life. So in the book, we go through the actual technology of the string, we go about Bethlehem and everything, but also talking about how to live a life. You know, don't judge others. You know, unconditional love is in there because you have to have some form of love towards others and an openness to others in order for the string to protect us. Not just by doing an action of putting on a string, it's not going to do anything. If you're a jealous person, you could wear 1,000 red strings. It's not going to do anything for you.
Darn.
So you said the red string goes to Bethlehem. Did I hear
yes.
that right?
Yes.
Can you just talk a little on that? What do you mean?
Okay. Bethlehem is a city in the Palestinian territories in the Middle East. And Rachel was buried there around 3,000 years ago. And in the Bible, she represents protection. And these days, it's actually a dangerous kind of trek. They go in an armored car with the whole fighting that happens there. And it's wrapped around with prayer. There's a meditation that happens while there, while the people that go there. And if you just go there, you'll see random people wrapping red string around the tomb. And it gets imbued with that energy. It's similar to... You know, in Lourdes in France, where supposedly there was a sighting of the Virgin Mary, and then the waters become holy because exactly, and then there's that energy that emanates from there. Same thing in Bethlehem, Rachel being buried there emanates the energy of protection. So anything that goes there also gets imbued with the energy of protection, and therefore wearing on the wrist protects us.
Incredible. You know, I was just 2 weeks ago in Lourdes and took a bath, by the way.
Oh, really?
And had that experience. Walked into the bath, you know, kiss the face of Jesus. And, you know, I thought, no big deal, right? I'm just going to go take this bath, right? And the minute I walked into the water, I burst out crying. Slammed me down. Just all of me, and I could not believe the energy that came out of me. So I totally understand what you're talking about in terms of how this could be imbibed with all of this purity and protection from Rachel. So I'm glad I asked that question. Thank you.
Now, Yehuda, I want to delve into this a little bit because I've read a little bit about Kabbalah. I've listened to the Power of Kabbalah tapes, and I know that Kabbalah puts a lot of importance on being proactive rather than reactive in one's life. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And when I think about the red string, I wonder, isn't that a kind of a reactive response to negativity? And does the Kabbalah suggest things, what one can do so one doesn't even encounter negativity in the first place, or have I missed the point here somehow?
Well, it's when I decide I want to put on a string, that's a proactive approach
okay.
to the unfortunate realities in this world that people are reactive.
Uh-huh.
And people around us end up looking at us. And yes, it is. It ends up being a reactive thing, and kind of you're reacting because there are people that are trying to. But it's this. We live in this world that unfortunately is a very reactive, a judgmental world. And Kabbalah, we view spirituality as it's spirituality for the day to day, for the moment by moment. The in your work, that's when you want to be spiritual, not when you're home and by yourself and meditating. It's spiritual for the actual world that we live in. And that's why there are certain tools we have, and I sometimes get instant messages or emails from a student who's like has a crisis mode at work, because we believe that it's spirituality should be all the time, not just when we're home and we're comfortable or by ourselves. It's all the time, and that's why, because of that, we do the proactive approach to protect us from the reactive people around us.
And so earlier in our conversation, you were talking about the process by which one infuses light into the dark aspects of ourselves. Is that right?
Yes.
And so maybe would it be correct to say that one of the functions of the red string in providing that protection is providing the ability to really infuse that light, and in turn, in doing that, perhaps also to be able to share the flame, as you said, to share the light with others so that negativity in the environment as well could also be transformed?
Yes. And also what I end up using the string for also, and yes, it's also about, you know, sharing it with the people around me, the world, the universe. But also it also reminds me, like, if I'll be in a bit of reactive mood or just a bit down, I'd look at the string and it kind of reminds me of where I am, what I'm doing, and wakes me up a little. So I use it as sort of a tool with myself. And I know that others use it also. Once it's on, I use it as a reminder. As, you know, you have to remember who you are, what you are, and remember to use the tools that you talk about to use it in your life.
So what is the teaching of the Kabbalah regarding creating wealth?
Well, the first idea of wealth is that we teach that money is actually a good thing, and that money represents energy. And there's a perception of some people that money is kind of almost a dirty thing. And some people have guilt if they have an abundance, and why, and Kabbalah says you should have as much money as possible, as long as you do some form of sharing, some form of thinking of others. But as long as that's part of our consciousness, then money is a good thing. Money really represents energy, and to use abundance in a positive way. That's why money was brought to this world, so we could use it in a positive way. And there is an unfortunate part to that a lot of people that have an abundance aren't in the mindset of sharing. It's not just giving away your money, but it's in the mindset of sharing. And sometimes using money in the wrong ways. A parent that has everything and gives their child everything, and always gives them fish and never teaches them how to actually learn to fish and actually earn it for themselves. So, unfortunately, it starts messing with our brain when there is abundance. But the first step is realizing it's energy. And then what you do with that energy is there's steps you should take. And you shouldn't give somebody something that they're not going to appreciate. And you should give to someone who will appreciate. And sometimes those values are warped. But the idea of wealth and the idea of abundance is energy.
Now, I want to go deeper into this because, you know, I'm in India. I've been, for another series, I'm interviewing saints or enlightened beings here in India. And what I found just across the board is that one of their main things is about just giving and setting up organizations where they're feeding the poor and so and constantly clothing people. And so are you talking about that form of giving, or what do you, can you go, is it about tithing? Can you go deeper into that?
Well, it's basically about consciousness. It's about how do we take a situation that I'm in and elevate consciousness of people, elevate the consciousness of the people around me. Now, if there's a need and there's someone walking down the street that is starving and hasn't eaten in 3 months, I'll give them food. But when we're given the tool of abundance, or we're given any kind of tool that we have something that is needed, the first step is, okay, my conscience needs to be, it's not just for myself, it's for others. And then the question becomes, what's the best way for me to manifest that? If you live in Bel Air or in any neighborhood, you know, it's difficult for you to find someone that lives next to you that really needs something. And then it becomes either about going out and actually finding people who need you, but it starts off in a consciousness of other opening up your life to other people, to allowing other people to be part of your life. And then the how, you know, in India there's a great need. In a country like Mexico there's a great need, and it's easier to find what your mission could be. But in our country it's sometimes difficult. But the first step is consciousness, knowing that if you have something, it wasn't just given to you. It was given to be able to share. Just like if you're a sports figure and you're giving an ability, you have to share it with the world. If you have a brain, you have to share it with the world. If you have wealth, there's some form that's not just selfishly for ourselves.
So how I would go about figuring out that for me, you know, where would I give, would just be to say a prayer inside myself and ask to be directed, you know, to have that intention to be directed to where the need is the greatest so that I can fulfill. Is that correct? And
that's correct. What I do is I just focus on one of the 72 names, you know, and figuring out, okay, this is the direction that I need to go in. This is where it's needed. Because you could give money, you could give time, you could give energy. There's so many avenues of where we can give.
Right.
That the first switch is consciously allowing our lives to have others in it, and that's a big step. Many of us don't have that switch that allows others to be in our life. But once you do that, then you need to be directed. Okay, where should your sharing be guided towards?
That is so beautiful.
You know,
this
reminds me, Yehuda, as you're speaking of in Janet's book, The Passion Test: Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire. She talks about that each person is unique. Every single individual is unique. Every person has a unique gift, and the idea that when people are aligned with their unique gifts, then and they're giving those gifts, then what they're doing is, by virtue of giving their gifts, that they are increasing not only their own abundance, but the abundance of everyone around them. And what you're talking about sounds to me very much similar.
And one of the ways to Kabbalistically to know where you need to share the most, mm-hmm. a lot of times it comes where it's most difficult.
That's a clue.
That's
a good one.
And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's easy to give a check. Sometimes it's easy to give from your time. Sometimes whatever is easy, chances are that's not part of, you know, what you really need to be doing.
So if you have a parent that needs you, and you're pretty stuck, you know, you have some stress from the past with that parent, and you can feel in your physiology when you think, I should go and see him, you know, take care of him, and there's this big, you know, block inside your heart. Is that what you're talking about, where it's
yes.
difficult?
Yes.
Because by giving, what you're doing, it's not, nobody really needs anything you have. Don't you agree with that? It's what you're really doing is giving to yourself, and you're healing that place in you within yourself by going to that place, which, in a sense, you have fear, would you say? Or
yeah, well, sometimes it's fear. It's sometimes it's just effort. And there are, and every person has the aspects that doesn't allow them to get to the place they need to get to.
Uh-huh. This is so profound. I'm so thankful that you're being so completely clear. You know, one of the things you just said a minute ago, you said it starts with a consciousness, consciously allowing others to be in our life. And you know, my thought is that all I have to do is consciously be aware of what I'd like to create. What I'd like to do, I don't have to worry about the mechanics. God will do that. Is that your belief?
Well, you start, once you allow others, once you open yourselves up for people to be in your life, it just snowballs from there. It just will happen. But unfortunately, either our fears or our blockages that don't let us being truly open and honest with other people.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Now, Yehuda, you know, our magazine is called Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and we've talked about wealth. Does the Kabbalah say anything about does it have a contribution to make in the area of health? Does it deal with health issues?
Well, it does. And, you know, when we go through a health issue, usually there's a cause, a energy cause. You know, the famous disease is dis-ease. When, you know, a lot of times you could track back of time when we start going downhill by either we went through something or something happened. And you know, one of the things that we do when someone's combating a health situation, you know, it's you know, some people, you know, want to be sick. Some people by focusing, people end up being focused on them as opposed to other things. People want to be sick. Sometimes people have allowed themselves to lower their energy and therefore have to go through something. And what Kabbalah does, obviously, you know, no one has all the answers. But what Kabbalah helps in a person's situation that has to do with health, we focus our energy to combating and not letting go. And one of the biggest problems, not just health issues, in general, in expression in this country, victim consciousness. Why me? Why this? Why that? And basically, you end up being a victim as opposed to being a being that's fighting. And what Kabbalah really helps with, and I've seen this, is getting away from the victim consciousness. And okay, you're in the situation already. Now, what are you going to do to make that better? Don't focus on why you're in that situation. Focus once you hear what you could do about it.
Say that again, that last line.
You know, a lot of times we're focused on why and how and what did I do to end up in this situation.
Right, which just keeps your head going, right?
And it's just the whole victim consciousness as opposed to, okay, you're here. Lance Armstrong got cancer, but he didn't give up. He won 5 Tour de France's. You know, Christopher Reeve, before he passed away, was fighting every day to try to make that situation that he was in the best he could do. But there's so many thousands and millions of people that end up in the same situation that just give up, that stay in their victim consciousness.
So would you say then with that turnaround, every moment is a gift? Because if you don't have victim consciousness, then whatever happens to you, and by being open, you can see that every moment actually is a gift because you're transforming that moment because there is a gift in that moment. If you don't go victim.
If you don't go victim, you could. Every single second can be a gift, can be a life-changing moment. But if you stay in victim consciousness, unfortunately, you become blocked from all that.
Well, that's our belief, so thank you. This is so profound to be able to be with you this morning, Yehuda, and this evening to you and this morning to me. And at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, we believe so strongly in the power of intention to manifest outcomes. And, you know, we'd like to know what your most current project is and what intention you would like us at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, as well as all of our readers and listeners, to hold for the fulfillment of that for you.
Well, you know, I was born with a gift of you know, attention deficit, and I end up having to work on more than one thing at a time. So my passion ends up really being cut into slices. And but really, what I do, I wake up every single day and I say, hopefully today I'll be able to touch someone, and to like take a key and change and open someone's heart, and do something different every day. Because the manifestations, if it's a book I'm working on or this or that, is less important. But really, what I do every morning, and I say to myself, I hope every single day at least one person is affected by me. I've opened one person's heart on a day-to-day basis.
Beautiful.
What is the most single important idea that you'd like to leave our readers with that we haven't discussed? Is there anything you'd like to share more?
I mean, the big idea is that we all have issues. We all have garbage. And no one, and we all go through it, and you know, we shouldn't ever feel alone. We're all in the same boat together. It may look like somebody else has it better, but if it looks like they have it better, if you really drill down into themselves, they're either as worse or worse than we are, and that if you want to succeed in this life, that you don't have to be by yourself. There are plenty of spiritual teachings that could lead you in a path to feel that you're part of a group or with others going through your thing. And the most important thing is never to feel that we're by ourselves and we're alone. And that there's so many people in this world that are more than willing and welcome to help each and every person.
And that being one of them, the Kabbalah. So what are the different ways that people can participate in the Kabbalah? Again, I know they can go to 72.com.
They go to 72.com, which directs them to their own personal name, to different things. And then if they're more comfortable, some people are comfortable online, some people are comfortable on the phone, and 1-800-KABBALAH, KABBALAH, or 800-522-2252.
So now, Yehuda, could you say those again?
And go slower, Yehuda, we have time.
Yeah.
Okay. it's 6 o'clock, that's why I'm here in LA.
We're okay, we won't
We're
hang
fine.
Up.
Okay. 1-800-KABBALAH, which is KABBALAH, and the actual numbers are 1-800-522-2252. And you could speak to, and there's a Kabbalah person could answer. There's instructors available for questions and just, you know, free information available.
And for our friends on the West Coast and the East Coast, you have your Kabbalah International is in Los Angeles, is that right?
Yes, there's centers in New York, in LA, in Miami, in Boca. There's different centers around the country and around the world. So if you're wanting to go to actual classes, they could call either the 800 number or on the website, and it gives them access to actual physical centers to study Kabbalah.
And that's www.72.com.
Yes.
And people also, if people are interested in your newest book, The Red String, then they can also purchase the book through the 72.com.
Through 72.com, yes.
Wonderful. Good, good, good.
Well, it has been an incredible, incredible way for me to wake up this morning, Yehuda. And as always, my experience with you is just one of deep thankfulness that you're put here on this planet. I loved what you said. You wake up every morning asking that today you'll be able to touch someone. And I'd like to set a group intention for all of our listeners, because I know that if you're on this line, you all have the same intention to be able to give maximum to the world, that our intention is that today and all rest of the days we will be able to touch someone in our lives. So, Yehuda, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much, Yehuda.
It's just wonderful, and we so look forward to connecting with you again. And any way that we can support you and your wonderful work, please know that we're here, we're sincere, and I know that many of our listeners you will be meeting soon, because I know they're feeling the same way I felt when I met you. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm just going to open it up. And good night, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. And be sure and join us in 2 weeks for our next call with the spiritual teacher, Bill Bauman. And have a wonderful evening, everyone. Good night.
Good
night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Chris, good
night.
Good night.
Bye.
Hello.